I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer, and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Just a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. I know around here, the boss, he thinks I'm sick. Wife, she thinks I'm working. I think this thing goes on pretty good. But it's 4th of July, and this is Fish and Frank. And in the chair across from me is Captain Kale and Captain Carl. We got more cuss than we know what to do with around here.
Oh, yeah.
But this is our 4th of July kind of let's see what to do, because I know a lot of people, there's going to be hundreds of boats down by the 41 bridges tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all kind of cool and all kind of great. Now, the one thing I don't recommend doing is going to Lashley Park to put your boat in.
No.
I would say Port Charlotte Beach, Edgewater.
Harbor Heights.
Mm-hmm. Darst, if you have a very small boat, go to Darst with it. Yep. There's a little bit of water. You'll have 2 to 3 feet of water getting out of Darst right now. But Darst is a good one. And to get to Darst, go out Highway 17 and get on Old Salona, where the Mary Olympia, where the Circle K is. You just go in and go back, and you'll see Darst Drive and go back there. Now, right. Riverside's too far away. But
right. And don't put in at ponds.
No. Harbor Heights, yeah, they lock ponds up at dark.
Yep.
So
you will be locked in.
Yeah, you'll be locked in there at ponds. So.
And that has caught a few people by surprise lately.
Really?
Yeah.
It's only been that way, like, forever. Yes. Gee, let me see. Sign says closes open from dawn to dusk. Well, that's dark, folks. Yeah. Oh, they took the sign down?
No, it's there. Just, you put a brown sign against trees and nobody can see it.
Well, nobody wants to see it. It's just like in Punta Gorda. If you're coming up to Punta Gorda, the sign tells you that it's slow in anything less than 6 feet of water. More than 6 feet of water, you can run. And that sign shows going into the canals.
Yep.
So right. According to that sign, you can run full blast down the canal as long as you have more than 6 feet of water.
Right.
And but there's nothing to say that's what it is going out, and that's what it is.
Right.
And I said, would you guys like me to go turn your sign around so it faces the right way?
So it makes
it's
sense.
It's fine. I said, but when you're going down the interstate, do you look behind you to see how fast you're supposed to be going ahead of you?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with the way we do signs. So Punta Gorda, great job manicuring the road. 41 looks gorgeous. Your parks are beautiful. Whoever puts your signs up needs to go watch Sesame Street, you know? I mean, Sesame Street, this thing is not like the others.
You know what I mean? Signs, mooring fields, you name it.
Actually, somebody's
Punta
paid.
Gorda's,
did you
Punta
see?
Punta Gorda's access should stop at the seawall.
Yes.
After that, somebody competent needs to take over.
Yeah, because whoever does, you know, like the landscaping, manicuring, unbelievably nice, beautiful. I mean, compared to the garbage we have here in the Port Charlotte side.
Yeah, they
whoever
do
does the Port Charlotte side, you need not just you. They need to be locked up in a rubber room, and you know, and then jail for a while for wasting that much money.
Yeah.
To make things so much worse and not even better looking. It's more unsightly, it's unusable, it's just trash.
Yeah, Punta Gorda is way nicer.
And, you know, so anyway, back to, we're going to talk about fishing. So you're going to leave the boat ramp, and you go up Port Charlotte Beach, Edgewater, Harbor Heights, Darst. Now, you're going to go down, and one of the cool things to do is get kind of close to the fireworks. But the police will tell you if you're too close, and don't be upset when you see the blue lights come on, say, get back out of here.
Yep, absolutely.
And
think about it. I mean, 2 years ago, they kind of botched the fireworks accidentally and shot off the last half all at once. Do you really want to be sitting under that if it happens again?
No, I don't even want to be that close to wherever they're putting them off, because whoever these guys are, they do a great display unless it all goes bad. And when it goes bad, it goes really wrong.
Fireworks tend to go bad sometimes, too.
So
yeah. They've never gone bad in a good way.
Yeah, no. Well, hence the name, going bad. But anyway, anchor up. Try and find a spot where you're going to be able to see the fireworks, but where you can still drop a line in the water.
I think if I had to choose any place, I would put in over at Port Charlotte Beach and come right up Bayshore.
Yeah, get follow
into,
it along.
Get into about 5 foot of water. You're going to see the fireworks right over top of your head. and now, sit I'm out
gonna,
there and try and
I'm
catch
gonna
a
go COVID. Under the bridge and get on the I-75 side of the 41 bridge. If you anchor over on the western side, on the harbor side of the bridge, you have a big bridge blocking your view. Yeah. So you need to be either back like halfway to Fisherman's Village, where you can see them come up over the bridge, but the closer you are to the bridge, the less you're going to see. So
between the two bridges is the best view.
Really? I would have thought that other bridge would have blocked it, really.
No,
between
not
I-75 and 41?
I thought you meant between the two 41 bridges. Oh, no. I was going to say, that'd be like putting under an umbrella. So I think the thing to do is get over on the I-75 side. And
that's usually where I sit.
But you go all you stay all the way up I-75. To me, that's too far away.
No,
I like being
perfect.
Closer. If I'm going through the whole effort, I want to be a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to fish.
Yeah, I know. I'm going out there. I'm going to fish, watch the fireworks, and sardines a great bait for over there. This is mostly sinker fishing, guys, you got boats idling around. They're going to be running over your lines. Let's make this smaller, more compact. Let's stay with bottom fishing while all the boats are there. If you don't want to have your bobbers out and then have a guy come and then you and him are cussing and hollering at each other.
Yeah.
Let's keep it with sinkers. Throw some shrimp, throw some sardines, chunks of ladyfish. We'll call it cut bait. Any type of fish. Get in on the bottom. You got sharks, tarpon, catfish. So remember, you're
cobia.
Going to catch
Don't
catfish.
Leave out cobia.
There's
a lot of ladyfish up there, too.
Yeah, a lot of ladyfish up there this morning.
But keep your lines kind of close to the boat. This is not a cast well away from the boat thing, because this is anchoring up to watch the fireworks. So boats are going to be 50, 100 feet apart. Let's keep everything nice and tidy, close to the boats. And
It's safer and easier for everybody.
So you've been catching, I get both you guys have been doing charters and catching lots of tarpon and some sharks and
we've been
snook,
doing
redfish.
Real good on the tarpon first thing in the morning. They're a little cantankerous. Today they bit for about 5 minutes flat, and that was it. The day before, they chewed for 2 hours.
Okay,
so,
what's your bet for tonight? You think even with all the boats, you're still going to be able to get them to chew?
I don't know. I think you've got a fair to middling chance of them staying at the 75 bridge tonight.
I'm thinking about 41. We're going to have so many boats between 41 and I-75.
There's going to be a lot of boat traffic, and there's still going to be a lot of car traffic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably not going to try the 41 bridge for snook and redfish, or snook and tarpon. I'm probably going to edge my way towards 75.
Be better off up there. Less traffic.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot less boats, even a lot less traffic, because until the fireworks are gone, there's going to be 3,000 cars trying to get across that bridge.
And then after the fireworks, too, it's going to be crazy.
Now, after the fireworks, stay at idle, guys. Stay just going slow.
Stay where you're at.
And let
the goofy ones go. Stay where you're at. Enjoy your fishing. And then go home.
Yeah, I mean, you're going out to spend the night, to see the fireworks and do all that. There's no rule or no law that says you've got to take off and run like a maniac.
You're in no rush out there.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference if you get back, 15 minutes earlier, 20 minutes? Well, give or take 15, 20 minutes, who cares? You're out there to relax and enjoy yourself. Bump it up to, 10 miles an hour and just kind of idle back around to the ramp and enjoy yourself, because when you come out of Port Charlotte Beach, you're following all those channel markers, and it's dangerous enough with all those stupid pilings out there now.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got a shoal that sticks right off of Grassy Point. So that has to be taken really wide or you run aground.
Yep.
Now, if you're going 10 miles an hour with your motor down and the motor starts bumping, well, you simply turn the wheel and you go out and you follow around the outside edge of the sandbar. But if you're doing 20 miles an hour and your motor bumps, now you're aground and now you're pushing the boat out of there.
Mm. Not fun at dark.
So I'm going to say you're going to get there faster by going slow.
Definitely not fun at dark. I'm sitting there till daylight because I'm not getting in the water.
I remember the night I was stuck in a Viacca cutoff and took the boat through. I knew I could make it. Had, four people with me, and plus me, five people in my little boat. And we go running through. We're going to you know, just save some time by going through the cutoff. Grounded her out big time. I mean, the tide was going out way faster than I thought. And here we are. It's probably 10:30 at night, pitch black, no, very little moon. You can just kind of see where the trees are. Get everybody out of the boat. We're walking back up out of there. We got about a 3/4 mile walk to get back.
That was a fun walk in that mud.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty. And we're going along, and all of a sudden I hear this big sploosh. And all of a sudden I look, and everybody's in the boat.
I'd have been one of them.
I said, what are you guys doing? Well, I don't know what that was. I said, I don't care what it was. Are you dead? No. Well, then get back and help me push the boat.
But what if it comes back for seconds?
Well, it didn't get you the first time. It probably won't get you the second.
I'm not taking that chance. It's what makes me laugh when people... I mean, I play with sharks every day.
Mm-hmm.
I will not get in this water. You know, and
I don't know.
I love hearing that. Well, you got less of a chance of being struck by lightning... Or a better chance of being struck by lightning than you do bitten by a shark.
Well, I've been
don't see me out in the middle of my yard waving a 30-foot aluminum pole around in the middle of a thunderstorm either. I don't press my luck.
Well, I've been hit by lightning, knocked unconscious. I mean, it took me weeks to recover.
That answers a lot of questions.
And then I've been struck by lightning secondhand like 3 times where I was... outside in working on a vehicle or doing something and laying in the water of the rain and had lightning strike and got just, I mean, hair shot out. I mean, it was, so, you know, when it comes to getting hit by lightning or winning the lottery or getting bit by sharks, I pretty much know I'm going to get all of them but the lotto. You know, I know I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be wading across. I'm going to get shark bit. I mean, it just, I've come to accept it and I said, oh, what the heck.
No, I'm not pressing my luck. I'll stay in the boat.
And we do have a lot of sharks in shallow water right now, too.
High tide, yeah. I mean, we caught a 5.5-foot sawfish today in shallow water, so...
Yeah, about... You were in less than 3 feet of water.
Yeah, a lot less.
Yeah. I don't know. Getting smacked by a sawfish. If I got to do one shark, that's the one I want to get, because it's cool.
No.
I'm going to be bleeding. It's going to zap me, and I'm going to have all this going on, but... I want to be able to say I was hit. If I get to be shark bit, and I know I'm going to one day, I mean, it's just my luck, that I want it to be a sawfish.
No.
I mean, torn up legs and tendons. I mean, at least I want it to be cool. I want to have a great story when it's done.
At least with, if a bull shark rushes you, you can at least kind of try and nudge him away, push him away, hit him with your rod tip, kick him in the nose, do something.
Just don't
you
run.
You can't do that with a sawfish.
No.
No.
I mean, it's got a chainsaw that sticks 3 feet, 4 feet out in front of its head. What
That's
do
what
you
I'm
do?
Saying. That's what's cool about it. If you're going to get shark hit, let's do it cool.
Now, even the guys, when it come to the surface, they said, what are we going to do? I said, And they instantly said, it's not good when the captain says,
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're right. I don't know what to do with it. Grab that thing.
No, thank you.
They lead with the business end.
Yeah, but they're cool, you know.
They are a cool fish.
So, Carl, what's your advice for tonight? You've gone over, you're anchored up to 41 Bridge. Leave your lights on all the time. Not ever should you just have your reds and greens on. You need your whites on. You need
all your lights on.
Everything, as much as you've got, because... Even though you can see out, doesn't have any... Somebody's running with lights on. They can't see 20 feet in front of their boat. They're going to run you over.
Yep.
So, outside of making sure you leave their lights on, what would you do, Carl?
Also leave your lights on because the game warden is going to be out there watching everybody, checking on everybody, too.
So, what kind of fishing would you do while you're there?
Me, I'd probably be doing snook fishing. I'd probably hang around I-75, fish the bunkers for some snook at night.
Well, we do have one problem. One of my lights burned out.
Uh-oh. Looks like you got to change the bulb again.
So, it's only going to work on an outgoing tide.
If you're in Tallahassee, he didn't say that. He meant the one on his boat.
So, it's only going to work. It's only going to work on an outgoing tide. Because the other ones burn out.
I think it's really rude they don't put plug-ins so we can put extra lights there. You know?
I mean, you could also anchor up, throw a crab in the water. There's been a lot of big black drums running around the bridges. A
lot of big black drums.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, that's something good to anchor up and just have your bait sitting on the bottom watching the fireworks. Yep. Rod goes off.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
But, you know, find yourself a spot to anchor close enough where you can get a good view of the fireworks. Mm-hmm. Put your anchor down. Once the boat settles in, then toss a couple out the back.
Yep. Have one right underneath the boat, 4 feet underneath the boat for a cobia.
Yeah, put one in the rod holder and just let the line go straight down right next to the boat and have it about 2 feet below the bottom of the boat and just let it sit right there with a real loose drag.
Mm-hmm.
And when that one goes,
that's going to be the good one.
That's going to be a real good one. And then cast the other one out with a sinker. But for two rods, I think that's probably the way to go on two rods. Put one in the rod holder, let it straight down so the bait gets about 2 feet below the boat right next to it.
Yep.
And then take the other one, put a good sinker on it, zing it out. Yeah, 20, 30 feet away from the boat.
Cut bait, crab, any of that would work.
So, anyway, as we're looking through this, I think we're all on the same page here, because I don't think the boats are a little close, and you don't want to be zinging lures with all the people in the boat and stuff. Take a little bit of cut ladyfish, if you can find some crabs, some shrimp, and I'd have two different baits out. Mm-hmm. What would you hang right below the boat, cut bait or shrimp?
I'd actually put a shrimp under the boat.
Just put a shrimp and just let it hang about 2 feet right below the boat.
Good size shrimp, a select, or...
Might even do it with a live crab.
If you can get a live crab, that'd be great. Be nice to take one of those little hand crab traps with you and put a chicken neck in it, drop it down to the bottom, try and catch some crabs while you're there.
I mean, also, there was a lot of baby ladyfish up there today, too. Yeah. A lot of little ladyfish.
So, free line some shrimp out.
Yep.
Just... No sinkers, no weights, just free line some shrimp around the boat, catch yourself a ladyfish, get about a 4 to 6 ounce sinker, 2-3 feet a leader, drop him right about 15-20 feet away from the boat, but use a heavy sinker so that ladyfish, because it's live, it is going to try and drag it. If you got a half ounce lead, he's going to drag that everywhere. He's not going to slow him down. But if you got, you know, 2, 3, 4 ounces, 6 ounces of lead, that will keep him there.
And there should be. I mean, you've got plenty of fish up there that'll grab that ladyfish. Good potential for tarpon, cobia. Don't think a black drum won't suck one of those down.
They've been hitting cut ladyfish. Chunks of ladyfish lately too.
It's great food for everything. So I think we're kind of modifying our plan here a little bit. I think we've said get out there, get anchored up, make sure you keep your lights on, but put a heavy rod, and I'm going to go for a chunk bait, and you know, or a crab, just a couple feet below the bottom of the boat, right next to it, and then toss another bait out, and then freeline some shrimp, try and catch some ladyfish or something. But I wouldn't go with the floats. You're going to get too much, keeping the line too much to the top, and you're going to have somebody run it over. So freeline a shrimp, try and get some ladyfish, or if you got one of those little hand crab traps that you can drop down,
that'll work good.
Try and get some crabs, and as soon as you get a crab, take that off. Now, I'm going to say put that on the one that's right 2 feet below the boat if you can find a crab.
Or put a half a dozen lighted bobbers out there and completely mess everybody up.
That would be fun. Balloons with a glow stick in them, and then just put them all around the boat. Yeah.
Orbs on the water. Look at, there's orbs out there. What is it? It's aliens.
So
they'll do it.
Yeah,
they will.
That would be so much fun. I like to go up to up current and just have about a dozen, you know, 3 dozen balloons with glow sticks in them, and then just tie them off and just drop them in and just watch them go by everybody and listen, you know.
Just freak a lot of people out.
Yeah, because they don't look like a balloon with a glow stick. Mm-hmm. They just look like this glowing ball orb, you know. And that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ping pong balls are great. If you go to a reef, a depth finder is actually looking for air bubbles in the water.
Right.
I've always wanted to go out by the reef and just off the reef somewhere, take and glue some string and sinkers to ping pong balls
and drop them down
and just
there.
Drop them all over the place so people go by and their depth finder is going to show there's mammoth fish down there. And I just thought that would be the funniest thing. Well, they just sit back and watch everybody, you know, try and anchor up, catch the ping pong balls.
That would be
they
great.
Would do that too.
It would, you know, have all about 2 feet of fishing line, a little bit of glue and some weights, and just drop a half a hundred of them there. Now, obviously, we can't do any of these things because you're not allowed to throw plastic in the water, but come on, it would be fun.
It would be. I could sit back and watch that for days.
Like around the 20-foot hole during tarpon season, get about halfway between the two, and then just drop a whole bunch of ping pong balls there. Those guys would go over, that fish finder would be going off like it's, you know.
You have boats all over those ping pong balls.
That tarpon would be eggs. Fun. Tarpon eggs, yes. Oh, we're not cruel. It's 4th of July. We're supposed to have fun.
Yeah.
Boom. How was that?
Exactly.
Boom. Okay. So anyway, I guess you got the gist of it. If you're going to catch the fireworks, if you're leaving Port Shadow Beach, I'm going to say leave between 7 and 7:30 so you're not really having to run too hard.
That and you get a good spot.
If you're leaving from Harbor Heights, try and leave Harbor Heights about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Darst about 8 o'clock. That gives you plenty of time to take your time, get where you're going, and remember, look behind you while you're leaving the boat ramp so you know where to come and get back from if you're not familiar with the ramp.
Because it's
going to
be dark. It's
going to be dark, and you're going to
be in a rush.
People trying to run on plane and all this, and it just kind of gets everything really hairy. So remember, one problem with having a lot of lights in the boat is that it will blind you. You cannot see outside of the boat when it's real bright.
You can't see those 6,000 crab traps between.
And try and keep.
Yeah, you never see them at nighttime.
You know, I have headlights on my boat. You know, I actually mounted front headlights. I have a new set to put on because one of mine went bad and it's kind of beyond repair. Can't find one to match it, so I bought a new set. But I have one that points down at the water and one that points up for the markers. If you're ever putting headlights on a boat, make sure one is down and one is up. And that way, one shines crab traps, the other one shines markers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's a lot of them up there now.
Yes,
and
there is. It's a minefield up there.
Yeah.
That whole section out in front of your house is just packed. Every 3 foot, there's a crab trap.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's bad.
I get somebody to sit on the bow and with the
spotlight. All you can really do at night is get it up above 4,500 RPM and hope for the best. That's really all you can do. I mean, when you're going that fast, that prop's spinning that fast, it'll cut through the crab trap line.
You hope. I've seen it way the other way.
Yeah, I've seen it cornucopia.
Yeah, just locked up.
Yep.
Those crab traps. If you're going to watch the fireworks, this is the last good bit of advice, and I just thought of it, and I should have started with this. You need a pair of pliers and a pair of diagonal cutters, or dikes, and a good pair of pliers and a good pair of wire cutters, because if you do pick up a crab trap,
you're going to have to cut it off.
You're going to have to lean over the back of the boat and cut it off, and the best thing to do is, you know, just get out and cut it off. It's easier.
Yep.
But
they only back out.
And then you get to get in the water.
They only back out. Okay. When you hit them slow.
Are you backed out of them?
Oh, yeah. I've backed out of them before.
Really?
I've gotten real good at doing that.
I've never had that work, ever. Yeah, it just made it worse.
If you get it in neutral and shut off quick enough and get that line behind the boat still attached to the crab trap, hopefully before it sucks the entire trap up in.
Well, that's what always happens to me. I hit them, and the rope grabs it, the traps up there.
Sucks it right in.
So let's add a good knife to this. You need a sharp knife. You need diagonal cutters and a good pair of pliers.
Pray that it's not one of the old traps that have that half-inch rebar in the bottom of them.
Ooh. Oh, it just keeps getting better. So a sharp knife to cut the crab trap rope.
Those ones don't back out, by the way.
Pretty bad, huh, Cal?
You ever wondered what all those scratches on my lower unit were from, those gouges?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Okay. So, a sharp knife to cut the crab trap line, a pair of diagonal cutters, wire cutters, and a good pair of pliers.
Take a spotlight and avoid all that.
Yeah, a spotlight is a really good... I think we're almost sold out. I think we got one left.
They went quick.
Yeah, well, they were... really good unit, pretty good price. So,
yeah.
And well, went out pretty quick today. I think we probably sold a dozen today. So we're
bypassing the fireworks tonight. So
you're not doing the fireworks?
No, we're not doing it. We're gonna go out first thing in the morning and go after those tarpon instead.
Ah, okay.
Well,
you could do both.
Go to bed early.
You'd be home by 10, 11
Just
o'clock.
Don't throw whitebait at them.
No.
Catch catfish after catfish after catfish. Yeah, I'm not talking about little catfish.
Yeah, big catfish.
They are very big.
So you're out there trying to throw greenbacks, thread fins at the tarpon, and all you're doing is hitting catfish?
Yeah, I tried white bait today on them, and it was just catfish after
trolling
catfish.
Isn't doing much better. We're still getting cats trolling, too.
So,
and it's worse when you get the catfish trolling. Because you think you've got a tarpon on.
What happened to you, Carl? I heard you got zapped.
Oh, yeah. One of the catfish I got today got me on my hand.
How bad was it?
I mean, it actually wasn't too bad. I mean, I feel it now. I mean, it's throbbing a little bit, but
it wouldn't
get me too bad. Though.
It only throbs for a few days.
Yeah, I've been stuck quite a few times.
I've been lucky. I've only been stuck once because I always carry those grippers. I got the catfish grippers.
Yeah.
I grab the grippers, pop the hook out, smack them on the head with my pliers, throw them back in the water. I like hearing the thong because when you tap them on the head with your pliers, it gives this nice reverberating bong. Just thong.
Especially with the hard heads.
Yeah. And then you just throw them back in the water. And hopefully they don't eat for 10 minutes, you know. Yeah. I mean, you could smack them in the top of the head with a pair of hammers as hard as you want. That thing will turn right around and eat your bait. I mean.
Yeah.
They're just.
I don't think they get enough credit. They are an amazing fish. They really are.
If they didn't have spines on them that would hurt you so bad, and a little less slime, it would be sail cats would be one of the top game fish. They bite readily. Mm-hmm. They hit everything that moves.
Yeah,
and they're good eating. I mean, everything about them is good except the spikes, which can put you in the hospital, slime. And the slime, which is just like
loaded nasty. With bacteria.
Yeah, and it also keeps them as one of the cleanest meat there is. Yep. I mean, sail cats have. As far as safety-wise, if you want to eat a fish where you're not going to get bacteria, you're not going to have all these problems or any problems with it, eat sail cat.
And if they got 5 feet long, I'd take my chances with a shark.
Oh, no. If they got up 4 feet, I wouldn't go in the water. 5 foot, I'd never go in the water.
Nope.
They're
aggressive. They're mean.
Little purple people eaters.
I am just fine taking my chances with the sharks. I understand it. I know what's out there. I'm not really worried about the sharks. They're just, you know, they might bump or whatever. But I've too many dealings with sharks where they don't worry me. The catfish, if they got a little bigger, they're nuts.
Yeah.
They're mean. They're aggressive. Mean,
they're aggressive. And I do like catching them trolling because it just flips people out from up north. You don't catch catfish trolling up north.
No. And,
you know, and that shows you how aggressive these fish are.
I would say at least 80, if not 90% of all the rods stolen off docks, stolen off the piers. When catfish. You see a rod flip and just go flying out in the water.
Yeah, it's got catfish written catfish all over it.
Well, the catfish, they give such a huge burst of speed when they hit. They just, I mean, they're hauling butt, and there's almost no stopping them in that first 30 feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they're just
tough.
Amazingly fast, amazingly strong. And that's why the rod goes, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you see his rod go boop, 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 the tip's just bouncing just a little bit, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you'll see the handle come up once, then it hits back down, and then the whole rod and reel flips up in the air, and it just does this beautiful acrobatic pirouette as it goes screaming out into the water. The good thing is, once the rod hits the water, the fish will stop.
Yeah. Yep.
And mm-hmm. you can cast back in that area. Now,
snag your pole.
Hopefully get
it. If you're going to try and snag a pole off the bottom, put a heavy weight up the line, tie a treble hook to it, but put the sinker about 2 feet in front of the treble hook.
Yep.
That way the treble hook's dragging flat across the bottom. If you put the sinker and the treble hook same spot, the points are sticking up as you reel in.
Right.
And you get that weight just dragging across the bottom, it'll drag the treble hook flat, and you will find your rod.
Yeah, it's so aggressive. I mean, I've watched catfish push the tarpon out from underneath the 41 bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Just empty that bridge out. I mean, the tarpon were nice and happy and hitting underneath the bridge. And then all of a sudden, they moved way out by the manatee signs. And it was catfish by the thousands that just pushed them out.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, if I was a tarpon,
you're 10 times my size? Get out of my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they got spikes and stuff, you know? He's little and they're fast, you know?
Yeah.
Be kind of like if there's, you know... I don't know. I get it. I wouldn't want to be bothered with them. It'd be like, you know, walking in a room full of kids. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know I'm 4 times their size, but, you know, okay, it's just annoying. I'm leaving. You know.
Pretty much what they say, too.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, there's nothing you can do. The kids are screaming and running around in circles and everything else. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, they're great. They're grandkids. Okay. Now, what I like about being grandpa is I can go home.
Yeah.
I love that part of it. I mean, Kale, you still got kids. I don't think you have any. You know.
Yeah, I still have kids.
So, you know, I could tell you, grandkids are the best thing in the world because they go home.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, I love them. They're great kids, but I love watching them show up. I love watching them
go home.
So, anyway, so we've decided on a lot of stuff. But I guess I think
take your time.
Yeah, there's no hurry,
no rush.
A rope, a pair of pliers, wire cutters, just to be safe. Good flashlight.
Make sure you have an anchor with you.
yes, make sure you have an anchor, because this isn't something you can go drift around. You're going to want to stop.
Stick it, or a power pole is not going to work either.
Make sure you have all your safety equipment, because you've got a really good chance of being stopped and checked out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They go a lot of... I've seen them go boat to boat to boat just doing safety inspections.
Yep.
I mean, because they got to sit out there, and the Marine Patrol is going to be there, Charlotte County going to be there, Punta Gorda is going to have a boat out there. There's going to be a half a dozen
watches.
Well, they can't do anything. Those guys, I go, get away from me. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm glad you're out here being studious. Now leave me alone. I should be nicer, but.
Judging by the scream, somebody opened the box.
Yes, somebody opened the box. So, anyway, I have no problem when law enforcement comes up to me. I like the Marine Patrol guys. I think they're great. All the law enforcement things, but I just don't have time when some guy who wants to come out and check my boat. Are you kidding me? Get away.
No, and I've said it a million times. We have got the best fish cops down here.
They're great guys. Yeah. We only had one jerk, and he's gone.
All of our guys, they're courteous. They don't mess with you. Chances are he's been watching you long before you've seen him through a big old set of binoculars.
Especially at nighttime.
Yeah.
And sit there with that infrared.
They don't bother you if they don't have a reason to.
What I like, though, is they're all nice about it. Mm-hmm. And it's their job. They're supposed to keep us safe on the water. And they're supposed to be out there doing it. And they're doing their job. And they do it very, very well. And, you know, I mean, I've been stopped, I don't know, hundreds of times over the years. Mm-hmm. And I've only had one bad experience, and lucky he's gone. You know, he wanted me to take my fire extinguisher off and said, no, no, I'll hold the boat. You go look at it. I finally got that clamp to work. I'm not taking it off again.
That's what I told the one that was, she started reaching for the fire extinguisher, said, stop.
No.
That plastic mount has been sitting in the sun for 4 years. I will take it off. That way, if it cracks, I'm mad at me, not mad at you.
I won't even let him take it off. You want to see it, I'll hold the boats nice. You get out and go look at it. Because that plastic clip, once it's done. And I'm, you know, I don't want to replace it until the extinguisher's bad. That's a lot of messing around.
That's what if you turned it so the gauge was out, I could just look at it. Then somebody bumps it with a rod handle and knocks the gauge off.
Yes. But anyway, as you can tell, well, 90% really on board with all these guys, you know. Anyway, I don't know where to go from there. I did have one weird, I'm going to close out with one weird thing. I had the first time I walked into the store, I was home working on the house, and I came back in, I walked in, and a guy says, you're Fishing Frank, aren't you? And I said, yeah. He said, I listen to your radio show. I live in Alabama. I listen to your show all the time. And I was like, really? And it just, I mean, really threw me for a loop. And then he got to see our beautiful studios here in downtown Charlotte Harbor and the massive, you know, the rows of seats and bleachers and stuff and where it was all gone. And he said, now I understand why you don't do video. Because you lie, Frank. He was laughing at our studio. But really nice guy, and thanks for listening in Alabama. It was really nice meeting you, and I'm not sure if it was your father or the other guy, but yeah, I really appreciate it. I don't remember your name. I'm very sorry about that. But you kind of took me by surprise. I've never had anybody say that to me before, so that was really kind of cool. And I guess we'll just end with that. Any last words, guys?
No.
Just be safe.
Be safe. It's a holiday. There's no reason to get out there and be stupid. Enjoy your time on the water.
So, this is Fishing Frank, and we have Captain Carl in the seat across from me. We have Captain Kale in the other seat, and this is the Diupers. And if you want to do something cool, I have a link that you can just click onto the Diupers website. They're great guys. Talk to them quite a bit, and they've got some great music. And this is just a little piece of their music.
Thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer, and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup give her a crank. I got a talk with Fishin' Frank. Fishin' Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishin' Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishin' Frank's. You gotta go to Fishin' Frank's. The one who knows is Fishin' Frank's.